Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we're going to read all five verses, but only focus on one verse for the message tonight. But Psalm 100. So Psalm 100 and verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, we do thank you again tonight for allowing us to be gathered together. Father, we come spiritually before you to sit at the feet of Jesus to hear what you have for us tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us to have ears to hear, a heart to receive, a heart to understand. Lord, help us to even know how to apply the scriptures to our life. Father, may the scriptures truly be the lamp unto our feet and the light into our path, guiding us according to your will. Father, we do ask that you would speak to the hearts of the children and Kid Venture. Bless them, Lord, through the Bible study, the games that they will play, the crafts that they'll do. Pray, Lord, that you'd minister to their hearts. But Father, would you minister to our hearts here tonight? Father, I ask that you would, Lord, lift yourself up in our hearts and our lives, helping us to focus on you. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace and your love that you bestow upon us every day. Thank you, Father, for even this day that you've brought us through and you've given us time together. Father, we ask that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and truth, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to focus on verse number 3 because I want to talk to us tonight about abiding with the shepherd. And verse number 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." All throughout Scripture, we see where, obviously, Christ is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He talks about that in the book of John and the other Gospels, where his sheep hear his voice. We know the shepherd's voice. We follow the shepherd. And I want to remind us again tonight just how we can continue abiding with the shepherd, living in such a dark, sinful world. There's wolves in sheep's clothing, and then there are wolves that are in their own clothing, always looking to scatter the flock, always looking to devour the sheep of the shepherd's pasture. But yet we do not have to fear anything because our shepherd has all power. Our shepherd is all knowing. He sees us even when we don't see him, which is comforting to know that he's always watching over us. He's always looking after us, always providing for us. But for us to continue abiding with the shepherd, there's a couple of things I want us to be reminded of tonight. Number one is we need to continue hearing his voice. We need to continue following his leadership and continue abiding in his care as he is the good shepherd taking care of us. So thinking about listening to the voice of God or hearing the voice of God, I want you to look at Job chapter 23. So turn back a couple of chapters from the book of Psalm to Job. I say turn back a couple of chapters, but turn back one book to the book of Job in Job chapter 23. And looking at verse number 12, because we never want to get to a place where we don't hear the voice of God as he leads us. I'm glad that he has led us out of captivity. He has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. We are his children. He's always watching over us, always leading us, always guiding us, providing for us. But we have to keep ourselves constantly abiding with him because sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are prone to wander. People are prone to wander. And the shepherd is always guiding the sheep, always keeping the fold together, but there are times like Jesus gave the account of the one lamb that had left the 100 sheep. 99 were still safe and sound, but one had wandered off, and Jesus went in search of the one and brought it back to the fold. So we do have a tendency at times to be tempted to wander from the Lord, but we want to keep listening to his voice as he guides us. And in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, the Bible says, or Job even says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So how do we continue abiding with the shepherd? It starts with constantly feeding upon his word. Constantly feeding upon his word. Again, Job says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So as God's people, spiritually esteeming the word of God more necessary than anything else in our life. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 119 verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We understand that when we find something that's very pleasant to the taste, we tend to want more and more of it. And if we eat too much of it, like sometimes kids will eat too much candy, because even though the stomach is saying, no, stop, the mouth is craving more and more, and then later you're being called up to a bedroom because a child is crying with an upset stomach. But the Word of God, we can't get enough of it. The Word of God is so sweet, we can't get enough of it. And spiritually, it is the food that we need, and we need to be constantly feeding upon the Word of God so that you and I will constantly be abiding with the shepherd as we're hearing his voice speaking to us. And with the feeding on God's word comes spiritual growth, which is necessary for you and I. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, because it's important that we do spiritually feed upon the word of God, but we have to let the word of God do what it's intended to do, and that is to spiritually be the nutrients that we need to be spiritually healthy, so we can spiritually hear the word of God and even respond to the word of God. But even though we may have the proper diet in front of us, we have to make sure that we're consuming that proper diet. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews, as he writes to the Jews, he's letting them know that you need to not only consume the Word of God, but digest the Word of God and grow in the Word of God spiritually, so that you're still not babes needing the simple milk, but we're growing in the Word of God, that we understand the truths of God's Word. We're able to even encourage somebody else in the Word of God, because as we grow spiritually, it will show that we are spiritually growing. And you know, again, it's not to be compared among ourselves. It's not for, you know, anyone to say that they're more spiritual than somebody else, for someone to look down on another brother and sister in Christ, say, well, you know what, they should be further along in their walk with God. No, it's for us individually to assess our own spiritual life and to assess our own spiritual growth, to know that, hey, you know what, I am growing in the Lord. I desire more of God's word so I can get closer to God and learn more things that God has for me, so that I can discern between right and wrong. I can discern the good and the evil that I see not only in this world, but even in my own life, knowing what is a weight in my life, what is a sin in my life that is causing me to be malnourished and causing me not to grow in the Lord. But as we want to hear the voice of God, we need to constantly be feeding upon the Word of God, digesting it, spiritually growing, so that ultimately we will continue submitting to the control of the shepherd in our life. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Because again, as we understand sheep, sheep cannot protect themselves. Sheep cannot provide for themselves. They rely upon the shepherd to protect them and to provide for them and to lead them to the still waters and to the green pastures. And the only way that they can rely upon the shepherd to do that is to submit themselves to the shepherd's control, the shepherd's leading. And you and I have to continue as we grow through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God in our life, we have to continue submitting to God's control. And the different areas in our life that as we go through the Scriptures on our own with our private devotion, as God speaks to us in certain areas of our life, we have to surrender that area and submit to the Lord's leading. You're there in Psalm 139. Look at verse 23 and 24. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist says, lead me. All right, search my heart. See what's wrong in my heart. Deliver me from that. But then he says, lead me in the way everlasting, because God's way is everlasting. God's way always leads to the good, always leads to, as David said back in Psalm 23, as he talks about, you know, the brook. He talks about the still water. He talks about the green pasture. God's way is an everlasting way because it's the right way. It's the way that provides for us. It's the way that, you know what, we may not know where it's going to take us. We know the end of it is right at the pearly gates of heaven, right in the presence of God for eternity. But between here and there, we know he'll lead us in the right way. And as David even said in Psalm 23, that we don't have to fear as we walk through the shadow of death, as we walk through this world. We learn as we consume and feed upon the Word of God, we learn how to trust him more and more. We learn how not to let certain things bother us. We learn that, okay, even though the wicked may seemingly be, you know, well off and seem to have nothing to worry about, yet we know it's not true. They have a lot to worry about because they don't have the good shepherd in their life. But you and I have to constantly learn how to give control over to the shepherd, to submit to his control in our life. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 8, the psalmist said, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Make thy way straight before my face." Psalm 32, verse 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's a wonderful thing to know, that God will guide us with his eye. Now, there was a time in my life where I thought, well, how does he do that? Is he just kind of, you know, do like I do sometimes, you know, with the kids when they were younger, look at them and just kind of be like, you give them this look like they know. Because there was a time where I had one child that you just looked at him and he knew. If he started to do something, you looked at him, he'd put his hand down and not do what he was going to do. And I was like, man, why can't all kids be like that? But then I thought, you know, as I thought about that, I can't necessarily see the eyes of God looking at me. But what it does tell us, if he's going to guide thee with thine eye, that means he sees where you're at, where he wants you to go, and he knows how to get you there. So what do I need to worry about? Even though I can't see tomorrow, he already sees it and knows how to get me there, and he will guide my steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The shepherd guides the sheep. The sheep don't know where to go, but the shepherd knows where to go. The shepherd knows where the nice, cool, still water is, knows where the green pasture is. knows where the protection is, and the sheep just follow. And you and I have to continue learning as we feed upon God's word, as we consume God's word, that we not only grow spiritually for ourselves, our faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but we grow in submitting to his control, relinquishing control to the Lord in different areas of our life. Because as we continue to get closer to heaven, we should continue to grow. Again, when if you remember back when you first got saved, you first asked Christ to come into your life, there were things in your life that had to change. Everybody has things in their life that they've got to stop doing. They've got to change. You know, we'd say turn over a new leaf, but don't turn over a new leaf because, you know what, we constantly turn over that leaf. But giving Christ what he wants to do in changing our life from the inside out. You remember there's things that, you know, again, you had to stop. Smoking, drinking, you know, drugs, whatever it was. Listening to heavy metal music, you know, whatever it is that, you know, the Lord showed you, that's got to go. Well, we shouldn't still be back there learning how to let go of those things. We should be past that. We should be at the point where the Lord is still showing us, okay, let me have control over your doubts. Let me have control over your fear. Let me have control over your what ifs. Because all of that does us no good. Again, letting him have control and leading us according to his will, letting him make our way straight before us, and letting him guide us with his eye. He sees where we're at. He sees where he wants to lead us to, and we need to follow. And that's the second thing I want us to understand tonight as we continue abiding in the shepherd, is to continue hearing his voice, and while we hear his voice, continue following his leadership. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. If some Christian does not know the will of God for their life, they will find it in the scriptures. They will find the will of God for their life in the scriptures. They will find what God wants them to do with their life in his word. And no doubt, again, his word teaches us how to follow him. And the reason why I want to keep on following and how we keep on following the Lord is, as someone put it, keep moving and don't become stagnant. Keep moving in your faith and in your relationship with the Lord. Keep learning, keep applying the scriptures to your life. Keep hungering after the bread of life and after Christ and after God's will. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says it this way, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to keep growing in grace. We're to keep growing in learning about the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's how we keep moving, keep growing. Again, we find the danger in our life when we get to a place where we stop growing and we stop following and we stop moving forward. The best way to do this is every now and again, take spiritual inventory of your life. Assess your spiritual growth. See where you're at. What are some things you're struggling with? Are they the same things you were struggling with last year? Well, if they are, then you haven't really moved on. You haven't grown in those areas. It doesn't mean those things won't try to latch on again and try to tempt us to start doubting and fearing and worrying. But do we find ourselves still worrying about those things? Do we find ourselves still struggling with those? Or have we moved past that and realized, you know what? I'm giving God complete control in that area, and I'm not going to let it detour me anymore. I'm not going to let it bother me anymore because I've learned that, you know what? If I put it in his hands, he'll take care of it. So we need to keep following the leadership of the Lord by continuing moving in our relationship with Him and in our spiritual growth and not becoming stagnant. And how will I know if I become stagnant? When I don't really have a heart to read the Bible anymore. When I don't have a desire for the sweetness of His Word. When I find myself reading it and then really, and then putting it aside because it really is not meaningful anymore. That's, we find ourselves stagnant, and that's when we need to ask the Lord, Lord, revive my heart again. Revive my spiritual taste buds again to where I crave. Jeremiah said that when he found the book, he ate it up. He ate up the Word of God, and it was sweet to the taste. We need to keep find ourselves continuing to move and not becoming spiritually stagnant. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You think about somebody in Scripture who no doubt would have been tempted to give up and become stagnant in his Christian walk, all the things that he faced, all the trials that he faced, the persecution, the people against him, even his own peers, even those that would travel with him in the ministry turned on him at some point. But Paul said, you know what? The best thing to do is keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Keep pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let that be the target that you're moving towards. And if nothing else, we can even let the target be, I want to hear Jesus say to me when I meet him in the air, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not that we were perfect and did everything right, but we were faithful to keep moving forward. We were faithful to keep going towards him and as he led us to continue following him and letting him change us from the inside out, letting him have control in our life, letting him lead the way. And the best way for us to continue following the Lord is not to follow the crowd. People tend to follow the crowd. Where's the crowd going? What's the majority of the people doing? That's what I'll do. No, as God's people, we don't need to follow the crowd. Paul said in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We have to remind ourselves as we keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, one day we're going to stand before him and give an account of the things that we did. Again, not to determine whether or not we get into heaven, but to determine our allegiance to the Lord, our faithfulness to the Lord, and receiving rewards in return for the life that we lived for him after the moment of salvation. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, not to me. Sometimes people do things to please the pastor. I fell into that trap. I used to do things to please my pastor. And the Lord taught me a hard lesson. Because as I promised I would have some painting done in a matter of a couple of days, it was a couple of weeks before I finished the project. And I was there every day doing it, but it just seemed like it was not getting painted very quickly because the Lord was teaching me, you should be doing it for me and not for man. Because the Bible does tell us to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. So it doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. What matters is, you know what? I want to do this to the best of the ability that God's given me so it's pleasing to the Lord so that he will be pleased, he will be glorified in what's been done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for you must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul was always teaching the new believers how to follow Christ. And again, what's the best example Paul could give was himself. And he even talked about who he was before he met Christ on the road to Damascus. He considered himself the chiefest of sinners, so he wasn't promoting himself or lifting himself up, hey, follow me because I'm a great Christian. He was saying, no, follow me as I follow Christ, Christ is the one that we're to be looking at. Because you know, at different times in our life, there will be some Christian that maybe we look up to that falls by the wayside. I've known of many Christians to fall by the wayside. I've known of many pastors to fall by the wayside. Now, we want to have someone that maybe we can, that would encourage us. Because there's been plenty of men of God that I've looked to and like, man, you know what? I want that prayer life. I want that walk of God that they have. But it's not them I'm wanting. I'm wanting the relationship they have with God. So it's like, Lord, can I have that? Because wasn't that Elisha? Elisha wanted what Elijah had. And Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And guess what? God gave it to him. God gave Elisha a double portion of the spirit he had. And the spirit he had was the spirit of God. He had the spirit of God in his life. And Elisha got that double portion. So we don't want to follow the crowd. We want to follow Christ. We want to keep moving towards the Lord so we do not become spiritually stagnant. We want to continue growing, continue getting closer to the Lord, continue allowing the Lord to guide us and to have control of our life, completely trusting Him. And while we do that, continue abiding in His care. Continue abiding in His care. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And the way that we continue abiding in the care of the shepherd is to completely depend on His protection. Completely depend upon the shepherd's protection. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, we are told to resist the lure of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is the best way for a sheep to defend themselves from a wolf? They have no defense mechanisms of their own. They can baa all they want, but that's not going to scare off the sheep, right? The best protection the sheep has is to run to the shepherd or stay close to the shepherd, even stay behind the shepherd. Let the shepherd be between them and the wolf. And God says resist, because the devil's always trying to entice the sheep to come away from the protection of the shepherd. But God says, resist that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, and for the devil to be walking about, he studies us. He's not all-knowing. He's not like God. He doesn't know everything about everybody. He doesn't know all your fears and all your doubts, but he studies. That's not to be scared about or spooked out about, but he walks to and fro. He studies people. He knows what we're afraid of. He knows what trips us up the most, and that is what? That's the fiery dart. That's the trickery of the devil that he uses. Whatever our downfall is, whatever our weakness is, he uses it against us. And God says, be sober, be vigilant. Whatever we struggle with, whatever doubts we have, fears, whatever our spiritual weakness is, we need to be honest with the Lord. Lord, help me to be strengthened in that area. Help me not to be weak in that area. Help me not to be lured away in that area. Help me to remain strong in staying close to the shepherd, feasting on his word and the promises, staying in the protection of the Word of God, because Jesus used the Word of God against the devil in the wilderness. It is written, he told the devil three times. It is written, it is written, it is written. So we're to resist the lure of the enemy, depend on the protection of the shepherd. In James 4:7, we're told, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Always submitting ourselves to the Father. Always surrendering ourselves to the shepherd. Look at Psalm 121. Now, as we are to resist the lure of the enemy, we can know that the shepherd is watching over us. Again, the devil does not have all authority or all power. The devil wants to lure us away from the Lord. And the only way he can get us to lure us away from the Lord is to get us to doubt God's word, doubt God's protection, doubt God's presence in our life. In Psalm 121 in verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." I'm glad that God, he's always there. His eyes never get tired of watching over us. Remember, as you look in the Gospels, the disciples got tired often. So much so at the Garden of Gethsemane, they just could not stay awake. They could not stay awake, but God never slumbers nor sleep. In Psalm 23 and 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So just reminding ourselves that God's always watching over us. And if the devil starts picking on us, it's not that, God has looked away for a moment. Sometimes kids do that. I remember being in the backseat of the car with my sister. We'd be on road trips different times. You know how kids get when you're on a long road trip? They get a little bored sitting back there. They've colored enough, they've done whatever they do enough, and then they start picking on each other. All that, "Dad, he's touching me. I'm not touching her." Yet the finger is just, centimeters away from the nose. "I'm not touching," right? And the other sibling smacks, "Oh, she hit me." You know how that is, back and forth. You know what? You think about just the Lord. He's always there. He's always watching. He's always protecting us. He's always warning us. When you look at Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, or listen to Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." In order for us to continue abiding in his care, we have to continue depending on his protection and depending on his promises. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." And there's three areas where we can continue trusting in the promises of God. The first one is we have the promise of his presence, not just now. We know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but even in the future. We have the promise of his presence now and forever. Psalm 37 tells us, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." In Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's one that we constantly quote around here, and you probably remind yourself of, and the Holy Spirit brings up in your heart and mind when you feel like you're all alone. But 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We talk about the mansions in God's house. We talk about the golden streets and all of that. But the greatest thing you and I are going to have in eternity is the presence of God, where his glory is what shines. No need for the sun or moon, but it's the glory of God that shines throughout eternity. There's never any darkness. You and I are in the presence of the Lord now and forever. But also the presence of his peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus tells us, never let your heart be troubled or afraid. Well, what does he know? He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what I'm facing. He doesn't know what someone is doing to me or saying about me or treating me. He does know. And again, it's a lure of the devil for us to have troubled hearts. Because again, the Lord wants us to cast all our care upon Him and rely upon His strength to overcome those battles that we face in life. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It is a promise of the Lord that He will give us the peace in the midst of the storms that we find ourselves in. He also said in John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, He says, ye shall have tribulation. So He understands the tribulations we go through in our life. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's why we can rely upon Him. That's why He is a faithful shepherd we can follow, is because He can protect us. He can provide for us. His promises are always faithful and true. Never has any of His promises never been kept. So much so that He overcame the world for us and all the tribulations, being tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, so you and I can have the peace that passeth all understanding residing in our heart. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to know you and I will never face the wrath of God. One day we were on the wrath list of God, condemned. But the day that you and I called upon Christ to be our Savior was the day we went from the wrath list to the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, having our names written down in that Lamb's book of life, not condemned under the wrath of God anymore. We have the peace of God dwelling in our hearts. Philippians 4 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, most people know the name Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was put into concentration camps for her role in helping hide Jews and helping Jews escape the persecution of the Germans. But she finds herself taken and put into these camps, and yet she finds God always watching over her. I just remember one account reading about the fact that the German soldiers were tormenting and doing things to the women in the different I'll call them apartments they were in, but the different cabins, the different holding places they were in. But in Corrie ten Boom's place and their place they were staying in, their group, they came down with lice. All the women had lice. And why would God allow them to get lice of all things? But it's the one thing that kept the German soldiers out of their cabin, out of their little prison cell that they were in. What I'm saying is, when you read this, Corrie ten Boom had peace the entire time she was there. And she lived through it. And there's things in your life that you've lived through. There's things in your life, hopefully you can look back and go, I remember God just giving me peace in that moment, peace going through that. Because it is a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a peace that you don't understand until you've experienced it, until you've had that peace dwelling inside of you. Again, it's the promise of His peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not being troubled, not being anxious, not running from the Lord, but staying by His side because you feel His presence, you feel His protection, you feel His comfort, and you feel His compassion as He guides you and provides for you. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as we think about the third reason that we can depend upon His promise, and that is the promise of His return. I'm glad that we're not living a faith that is faithless or endless. We're not living a faith that's based on someone that founded a religion whose grave we can go to, and their bones, the remnants may still be there. We're not following a man, but we're following God. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have the promise of His return that helps us to continue following Him faithfully and relying upon Him. Jesus said in John 14, in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a wonderful comfort that is. That the trials of this life are not for eternity. The scripture even talks about, Paul even talked about the trials of this life compared to eternity, compared being in the presence of the Lord, in the place He has prepared for us. He considered the things of this life a very light thing. Though they are hard as we go through them, yet compared to what God's prepared for us in eternity, it's a very light thing. When we allow the peace of God to truly rule and control our hearts and control our emotions and control our thoughts, we have that peace that passeth all understanding as we continue to follow the shepherd. Look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 in regards to the promise of His coming. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. In verse 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We're to comfort each other. God's people are to comfort one another with these words in times of trial, that it's but for a moment. Again, if we look at the lifeline, if we look at the line of life, I mean, life is just a speck on the timeline. Yes, we may live to be 90, 97, 100, 102. But when you look at eternity, it's but a speck. But for us to be encouraged, hey, you know what? I'm not left alone. My Savior sees me. He's guiding me. He's watching over me. And one day He's coming for me. And that is what encourages us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith is, you know what? It could be today. Today could be the day that He calls me home. Today could be the day that, you know what, we hear the trumpet sound. Nobody else is going to hear it. The lost people aren't going to hear it. When the trumpet sounds, it's only those that are saved in Christ that will hear that sound as they're in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, gone from this place to meet the Lord in the air and so ever be with Him. You know what that reminds us to and encourages us with? Being with the Lord forever. What comes after that? What comes after meeting the Lord in the air? Well, you read Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, sitting down and having a meal with our Savior. And then all tears being wiped away. Everything changing. Us getting our glorified bodies where we don't have a body that is sick and hurting and has metal keeping it together and all those things, and we get the new glorified body. I mean, you want to talk about, we have some joy now walking with the Lord, but you want to talk about joy when you see the Lord face to face? It'll be joy like we've never experienced before. And when we walk through those pearly gates, the excitement, you know what, there's been times where you've gotten a new vehicle or you've gotten a new house, because I remember when my progression as a young man was my first place of inhabitants. My first place to live was in a trailer. I didn't stay there often. It wasn't the best of trailers, but it was like, hey, I've got my own place. I always went to my mom's house, or, you know, we would eat there. It was just, you know. But we went from trailer to an apartment, from an apartment to a townhouse, from a townhouse to a duplex, and from a duplex, one, two, three houses. Kind of that progression. And every time it was like, man, it was exciting. Oh, I got my own place, a trailer, but then it kind of wore off. And it was like, you know, you move and you get into this nice apartment. Man, this was nicer than the trailer. And then you go to a townhouse. Man, this is even better. But you know what? The newness always wears off. The newness will never wear off when we get to heaven. It'll never wear off. And we don't understand that. Because sometimes we try to think about heaven as we think about things on this earth. Because everybody wants to know, what are we going to be doing in heaven? What's it going to be like? You know, what's the program and all the things? Well, we'll find out. But the greatest thing about heaven is we'll be in the presence of the Lord for eternity. We will have the fullness of the Lord in our life. No more struggling with doubts and what ifs and doing right, you know, what we think is right versus what God says is right. I mean, it's going to be perfect. Look at Joshua chapter 23 as we end. But we have to continue learning how to abide with the shepherd, stay close to the shepherd, keep following the shepherd, keep listening to the shepherd, keep relinquishing our control of our life to the shepherd who knows best. In Joshua 23, and you look at verse 14. It would help if I was in the right chapter. All right, chapter 23, you're there, I wasn't. So chapter 23, verse 14. And behold, this day I am coming, And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. As Joshua is going to pass off the scene, he says, I go the way of all the earth. He's at the end of his life. But he wanted to remind the Israelites that followed him while he followed God's leading as they went through the promised land, not one thing failed of everything that God said he would do. Not one thing. You and I need to continue growing in that manner that we realize, you know what? Not one of God's promises has failed me. I have failed God at times because I've kind of wandered off the path as a sheep that wanders from the shepherd. But yet God has never failed. You and I can continue abiding in the shepherd with the shepherd because he never fails of everything that he's going to do. His promises never fail. His presence never fails. His protection never fails. God does everything that he says he will do. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Not one thing has God ever failed upon in our life. You and I can continue abiding with him because he's a faithful God. And we need to continue following him, continue seeking after him, continue desiring the spiritual food he's given us through his word. Continue seeking after his presence. Continue abiding in his protection. Continue allowing God to guide you in this life as he leads us to the next.